Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. A little warning, if I start to sound all nasal and stopped up, that's because I'm fighting getting a cold, and my nose and eyes are running, and I'm trying to control it the best that I possibly can. So, with that said, let's get started. I hope you guys had an opportunity to go to our page. You got our promotion telling you about what this week's show is going to be about, At Risk, and was able to look at the trailer that we provided a link for, 2001, I think, movie, The Minority Report with Tom Cruise. If you saw that trailer and you paid particular attention to it, then I think you'll be in much better position to follow what we're going to talk about today. And it's a fantastic piece. It's perfect for what we're going to talk about. And what we're going to talk about, of course, is the notion, the concept, the practice of something called at risk. It's a term that people use all the time now, and particularly in education, probably more so in education than any other area. And that's because, as we have said on the show, and we've had several shows on this issue, something called a nation at risk. And that report came out very early part of President Reagan's presidency. Backstory on this is that when Reagan was running for his office, he promised to do away with the Department of Education and a few other departments. His thing was the neoliberal agenda of small government. And you can get to small government if you whack off departments, Department of Education, environment, you name it. He wanted to whack it off. So to do it for education, he got one of his people to do a study, and when the study was done, the study was called A Nation at Risk. The key points coming from this study was that our education system was so bad, and the people running it were so bad, that they were causing this country to lose its leadership role in the world, in commerce, in military, you name it. Our education system was failing us. It was failing us so terribly so that it was putting the nation at risk. There is a famous little paragraph there where he says that, the author says that our education system was so bad, and it was so bad because of the schools, the teachers, that if the condition that our schools were in, and if those conditions were leading to a threat to this country being moved from first place to second place to third place, fourth place, all the way down, that if these actions were done by an unfriendly country, we would consider it an act of war. That was really powerful back then. And what he was saying was that public education, the way in which it was being conducted, was so bad that it was destroying the nation from within, and that if that was a foreign country back then, they were talking about China and Russia, it would be an act of war. And I've talked about this in many different ways. I said that the war on public education, some say that it started with the Nation at Risk back in the early, I think it was 1980, I can't remember the exact year. And I said, no, go back to Sputnik in 1957, the attack on public education, on schools, on teachers, was going on back then. So, this notion of at risk, it was adopted by other segments of our country, business, you name it, all of a sudden, at risk. When it's used basically as a negative. When something, someone is at risk, they're at risk for becoming something or doing something or being something, that's a negative. And so we use it, you know how we use it in schools, because we've been doing this now for 40 years or so. This notion of our students are at risk, their education is so bad that it's putting them at risk of not being able to go to college or have a career. That's the new kind of connection here. So that we have a history now of using this term at risk. But I would wager, when you hear the term or if you use the term at risk, you may have a different meaning in mind, a different conceptual framework, so that at risk could mean one thing to one person, one thing to another, to one group, to another group, on and on. But in the main, when we use an education, we're saying that a single student or a category of student are at risk for not achieving the stated desired goals of the education institution. Why this may be? A plethora of reason, but it's what we, quote, when I say we, I don't really mean to put myself in that group, but when it's used to say that something is wrong with, I'll just bring it down to a student level, for example, individual level. Something is wrong. This student is not achieving according to the plans, from grade to grade, from semester to semester, from week to week, students not achieving. When this occurs, how is that student looked at? how that student is looked at for not achieving makes all the difference in the world. I'm going to pause for a second. It makes all the difference in the world. Why is James Miller not doing well on math, not doing well on English, not doing well on science? The question of why. It's that question and then the response that comes after it that is what basically this show is going to be about. We tend to, well, let me stop for a second. This at-risk category, it's, at-risk is both a category and a label. You put people into this category based upon XY criteria. Once you put them in this category, then you label them. So it's a categorizing, it's a labeling that sets them apart from others in the same classroom, others in the school, others within the school district. It's that categorizing and it's that labeling. Now, once a student or a group of students are categorized and labeled, the notion here is if we can identify this, quote, failing student early enough, we can intervene. We can have different programs, or a single program, but basically a different program that will, quote, hopefully get this student back on track so that he or she will, the most important thing here, is graduate. Just connected a couple things here. The concern now is student achievement, yes, educational achievement, yes, but the real bottom line is graduation. Keeping the kid in school, making progress so that he or she can graduate. That's the thrust that everything that takes place once a child is placed in this at-risk category, everything comes to focus on getting this person to graduate. Now, what we're talking about here is we're categorizing, we're labeling our students both in our schools and our society. And the question, does this labeling help or does it hurt our students? Does it help or does it hurt our teachers, our admins? Because, as I will say a little later on, you will discover, which I'm sure almost everyone who's listening probably knows already, that it could be backfiring. In other words, placing a kid in the category of at-risk can come back to bite people in the butt. Reason I mentioned, I started off this show in the beginning asking whether or not you had a chance to look at that trailer is because later on I'm going to do analogy of at-risk in our schools and the whole process of defining what at-risk is, the categorizing, the labeling. I'm going to compare it to the movie, The Minority Report. And I picked that movie because I think it's a perfect analogy to what's going on today in our schools as to what was going on in that movie, which is set in, I think, 2045 or something like that. It's an amazing comparison. Let me start off by saying that the at-risk category can be, and most often is, a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword in that it has the potential to redress issues, a full range of issues, and we'll call them social justice issues, equity, restorative justice, all of those areas where we have inequity, inequality built into the social structure of our schools, public schools. That could be, quote, a good thing. Then we also have the other edge of that sword in terms of placing a child in a category and then labeling. You can stigmatize and put that child in harm's way going forward. By this I mean, once you put a child into that category and assign that label, going forward, that label can stick with them from one grade to the next, one teacher to the next. It can even follow them outside of the school. What I'm talking about here is that that category, that labeling, can help shape, help define, help determine that student or group of students, what we call in sociology life chances and life opportunities and life expectations. These are some very basic sociological concepts. And what they are saying is that if you are born white, male, middle class, family, in prosperous time, that being born in that situation, those parents, that community, that status of being white, middle class, could determine your life chances. By life chances meaning what you can become in the future. Opportunities, what opportunities you're going to get as a result of that status. We talk about white privilege now all the time, and how white privilege runs from the 1% all the way down to the very bottom of the hierarchy, those who are poor as dirt, uneducated, the whole nine yards, but they're white, and they will enjoy some kind of privilege, can be some type of opportunity that similar person that's black, that's born in dirt, poor family, neighborhood, and et cetera, will not have the same range of life chances, opportunities, expectations. Being put into that category can be the equivalent of placing someone into, as I said earlier, harm's way. A very destructive set of circumstances that could follow that person for their entire life. That's the double-edged sword thing that I'm talking about. I know teachers who, when a kid is diagnosed or evaluated who have emotional problems, learning difficulties, behavior problems. They will see the label and they'll respond to the label and not so much to the individual. The individual loses his or her individuality and it's the label. The label carries with it expectations, cultural expectations, social expectations. And so that it can go either way for you. If you're in the school, if you're in a teacher, that school has resources to use to help that child overcome whatever the problem or problems are. That's the positive side of that sword. And you heard me talk about the negative side of it. What I really wanted to get to for this topic is something that I said back in April of this year. I was at a meeting at a juvenile detention center, and I was looking at the kind and quality of education that the children there were receiving. Because you know that if you are put in juvenile, you still have a legal right to an education. And usually someone or a team will come to the facility and provide education 5 days a week, 365 days a year type of thing. So I was talking to the director about what I was observing, and I noticed that this particular person, he had a disposition that I really, really liked in terms of his perception of the kids that were there. He looked at them as young human beings that had rights that were not to be taken away from them because they were being detained. They were not to be mistreated. They were to be respected, and on and on and on. And I complimented him on his approach. And I also said to him the following, something along the following line, that those kids and kids like them situated all across the country, people look at them as they were, I won't say rotten apples, but they were defective. Something was wrong with them. And hence, they were at risk of becoming a dropout, young girls getting pregnant, being unable to get a job that would be able to take care of themselves and or a family. They were at risk of going to prison. All the negative things that we associate when we use the term at risk. I was there because I wanted to see if that facility was being run like that negative side of this sword. And I told him that I was really pleased that it wasn't, and that my whole thing is kids come to school, if they have this label of being at risk, our job as educators, as teachers, was to help those students through getting an education, through the curriculum, the pedagogy, help them transform themselves and their situation from being at risk, from being unemployed, going to jail, all the negative side, to be coming at risk of becoming doctors, lawyers, teachers, scientists, mayor, future mayor of the city, future governor, run for president, becoming a nurse, that I recognize it as a continuum. On the one end, you have at risk for all the negative, but on the other end, you could see them for being at risk for all of the positive. Most people don't see it that way. Most people don't react to it as that way. Once you're placed in that at-risk category, for some, that's a life sentence. You go out in the world with a stamp on your back saying, at risk. Watch out for me because I'm at risk for robbing you. I'm at risk for not being able to pay my rent and living in your place as long as I can without paying you. All the negatives. I don't want to continue to repeat myself. But that was a conversation that I had with him. And I had been working on that idea of teachers of school. One of his mottos would be, we will meet and greet a student where he or she is, and then help transform them from being at risk for all the negatives, for being at risk for all or some of the positives. Very simple. It's not brain surgery. It was a very simple concept. But envision it on this continuum that you can slide. In that concept is a refutation of the notion that once tagged as at risk, you're always going to be at risk for the negatives. That's immutable. It's a permanent thing. It's just like skin color, quote, is a permanent. The notion of race, racial category, labeling race. If once you're labeled, that's it. It's fixed. There are those who will look at it and say that, well, wait a minute. This person may be at risk for ABC, XYZ, but they'll ask the question that I always say to you guys, the why question. Why? Theories abound about the at risk, the whole notion of risk. Some will say that people are born with certain traits that are immutable. They're born dumb, stupid. They're born criminals. They're born liars, cheaters, whatever. And nothing that you can do will change that. It's innate, it's genetic, and it's transferred from one generation to the next, on and on and on. Some people will say at risk is a social construction, a cultural construction. In other words, it's an idea, it's a value that people made up for themselves. It was nothing inherent in it. It was something that we all agree upon at some point. Then there are other people who, the eugenics people, fit in that first model, that it's something innate. The social sciences fit into the cultural model that this is endemic to the culture. There are forces within the culture that help shape, help make one at risk for X, Y, and Z. Then there's the sociological people who take the cultural a little further and they break it down to the various institutions, the values, the ideologies, the political structures. All these social forces help shape who you are, help define your life chances, life expectations, and opportunity. I was just told that we have a caller. Are you there, caller?
Yes, hello. Give take
hello.
My call.
I didn't
yes,
get your
I
name.
Wanted to talk. My name's Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, all the structures and systems need to be transformed, especially the at-risk. When you start to label and drug two-year-olds, you're setting them up. And our whole society is less than, and I totally agree with you on that aspect. But at the same time, I've been told, and I don't know if you have any stats on this, but that the schools actually get paid $5,000 and up to $10,000 per child to make sure that they get on drugs, these at-risk. Youth. Do you know anything about
don't
that?
Know, I don't know anything about that in terms of, I know many of the schools, which is part of another topic, if we want to do a part two there, the intervention programs that are out here at our schools, many of the schools will have intervention programs trying to make kids aware of drugs and the dangers that they could face by using drugs, and but I don't know of any.
I believe that's necessarily more equated with the street drugs. I'm talking about the psychotropics that they label a lot of the at-risk youth because of the labeling, and they're already kind of. Most of them have some form of dysfunction in their, family. Instead of family counseling and more, counseling, a lot of them end up being labeled with bipolar or they're, they have these other labels for them, and they will, like ADD with the 2-year-olds and what have you, that they need these different drugs. And so our society has a whole set of drugs for helping people supposedly with their psychological problems, which are being proven to cause suicide and homicide violence. So I just wondered if you knew about the money actually going in per child to actually kind of push them onto drugs, big pharma. Do you know anything about that?
No, but I do know this, that in some of our schools, especially the better funded schools where they have counselors and other types of services, that some students who exhibit the same type of behavior as the students of color will be not labeled at risk for all the negative things that I've mentioned previously, but instead they will be looked at as having a medical problem, one that counseling or drug therapy would be best suited for, whereas the minority child doing the same behavior may be the one that gets suspended, gets expelled, put in detention, but the notion of schools participating in any type of program whereby they will be pushing kids off on a path of getting medication and in return getting rewarded for this in terms of $5,000, $2,000, $10, whatever it is, that's about as much as I know. So I don't know if I can answer your question. Well, I just tried to answer that question, but no, I don't. And if you find out something about it, the War Report is on Facebook, I invite you to send me whatever you come up with, because I would love to look into it. Thank you.
Well, madinamerica.org might be able to help in that respect, too. You might check in with them at that level, too. So thank you.
Oh, okay. Thanks for calling. Bye now. Okay. Now, I was saying that looking at risk differently, and that most people don't. They look at it one way, skewed to the negative, and I look at it as a possible continuum whereby with certain types of curriculum, and I'll say it again, pedagogy, and teachers who have at heart the best interests of the students, and they are willing to go that extra mile to help their students, pushing them towards that other end where they will stay in school, they will get engaged in their own learning, and at the end of the rainbow, they will be on a path to become, take the next step, and eventually becoming that doctor, the lawyer, et cetera. And there is another aspect, too, of the at-risk thing that I look at that some people don't look at, and that is another little axiom that I came up with is that everyone is at risk for something at some time. The issue or issues is and are for what are they at risk for and why. Let me explain that. I believe that every one of us during the course of our lives, not one but many times, we may be at risk for different things happening, some of which we may have some, quote, control over, some which we may not have control over. But the point is that everyone is at risk for something. And going back to my statement about the sociological concepts of being, having your life being shaped by the social, economic, political, religious, cultural forces that you were born into in terms of a culture, in terms of a family, in terms of a category, and how these help shape your life chances, your life opportunities, and expectations. Being born, again, that middle-class, well-off family, you are could be at risk for making more money than your parents. You could also be at risk of losing all the money that your parents have made and left to you. You can be just as much at risk at getting hooked on drugs. In fact, maybe even more so, because you do have the money for the drugs. But most likely, you'll be at risk of getting into that very prestigious private school, at risk of getting into that very prestigious liberal arts college, university, at risk of graduating, that's a risk factor, of graduating, at risk of graduating and then going to work for a firm that your parents happen to be friends with the owner, to be at risk for that. You could be at risk for a dozen, if not more, kinds of things. You may not even be aware of these things. You may take it for granted that, oh, I was born, I grew up, I went to school, I got married, got a house, car, and life is beautiful. But that could be considered a risk you were at risk for that, given some other circumstances. I don't want to belabor this. My point is simply this, that all of us, are at risk for something at some time in our lives. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be neutral. And if you get that, now I'll bring it to the schools. Teachers, admins, we are in a time that teachers, you are just as much at risk as some of your students. And in fact, you may be even more at risk. And admins, more at risk. The tables have turned, as I've said over and over again, since Sputnik, since A Nation at Risk, since teachers who had the white hat in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and what have you, and now, teachers, you're wearing the black hat. Take that racial potential connotation here, black-white, but you get what I'm saying. Now, teachers, with the neoliberal Machiavellian agenda to privatize public education and how they're going about it through standardized testing, through, where is possible, the Common Core, through scripted lesson plans, curriculum, scripted pedagogy. You now have lost maybe the thing that made you want to be a teacher. Your creative juices to help make a difference. You want to be that person that if the kid didn't have anyone else, they could have you as a person that they would look up to and have a positive relationship with. All that's gone now. That was a risk factor. You had it, and you don't have it now. You're at risk. And for those of you who haven't had it happen yet, you are potentially at risk for it happening. Teachers, with the advent of standardized testing, and you know where I'm going, your class doesn't do well, you're blamed. But not only that, the class that you had this year, next year when they're tested and they don't do well, you're still blamed. The class that you had, and this child, that child, was not in that class, but he's in the class now that's being tested, that was your class, you're still the blame. And that blame is a risk factor. That blame is you're going to lose your job. That blame is that someone's going to come in, they're going to observe you and write you up as being in need of improvement. You've been teaching 15 years. Kids love you, you're doing a great job, but all of a sudden, you're inadequate. Then they put you in some type of intervention program, and if you don't make it through that, you're fired. And in some states, if you're fired, you lose your job, you basically lose your credential. You can't work anywhere in that state. On our promotion, I use a little phrase that, and same thing with admins, administrators, who we're going to take over your school. Fire the principal, get rid of half of the teachers. For the community, we're going to shut down your school. You're going to lose your community school. The kids are going to have to go get on a bus and go 10 miles away from home as opposed to being able to walk to school. These are all risk kinds of factors that can make one at risk. But here's the irony, and this is, again, back to the movie. And the little phrase I came up with was that in the movie, it's all about something called basically a system, precognition, pre-crime, that has been developed and perfected through algorithms so that it predicts crimes, predicts who is going to commit a crime, what type of crime the person is going to commit, what day, what time, what location. And this is a movie, science fiction, okay? But boom, the capacity is there. And then there is this squad, the precog squad, that it's their job to go out and arrest the person just before he or she is going to commit that crime. And the whole thing that really gets me about this, and it's related to what we're talking about, is, again, in that trailer, you got some action sequence, but you also have still shots with messages. And the first message is that the future can be seen. Then the next message is the guilty is punished. Next message is before the crime is ever committed. Listen to what I just said. The future can be seen. The guilty is punished before the crime is ever committed. And that's the important part there, before the crime is ever committed. The system for predicting all of this and IDing the person and all that's going to happen is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Is never wrong. And then at the very end of the trailer, it says, after it's never wrong, until it comes after you. Let me tell you why I was excited about all of this. At risk, the category, the label. People have been playing with defining this thing. People have been playing with how we identify, how do we do it accurately, how do we do it in such a way that we get the complexities all put together in the right fashion, and that the system of identifying, placing a person in a category, label them, is perfect. Never makes a mistake. That's what perfect is about. Never makes a mistake. And the notion of this can be seen in the future. You place a kid in the category of being at risk, done deal. Your decision to place that person there was based upon XYZ measures, predictors. Boom, you place them there. You basically, you're seeing the future. When I talked a moment ago about different views of being at risk and why people are at risk, when I talked about at risk being a biological set of traits, going back to the eugenics period, where individuals and members of a certain group or different groups have different traits. They're part of their DNA. They can't be changed, so that they're going to be a dumb person either when they're born, or they're going to progress being dumb or dumber as they go along. The system for identifying, placing in categories, and then labeling, and then how you respond to them, like in the movie, is perfect. It never makes a mistake. And when you put someone into that category, that's a form of punishment, especially if you got it wrong. It's like when someone goes to jail, goes to prison for life for a crime that he or she did not commit. Think about that. You put an at risk, and maybe you don't belong there, whatever the definition is. Maybe you don't belong there. Or maybe whatever you were doing that got you tagged that day, that week, that month as being at risk was something that was temporary. But since the system is perfect and you are placed there because we can see the future, I can look at this five-year-old here and I know damn well this kid is not going to graduate. Know it right now, 5 years old. And I've talked about this before when I was in kindergarten as a five-year-old. They gave IQ tests, Stanford Binet IQ tests. And depending upon, quote, your score and interpretation, 5 years old, you were put in what we now call special ed. And top floor of the building, you were never seen during the day in school. You were only seen when you were coming in from the outside or you were leaving. That was the system. And, quote, it was perfect. Also, that part of the movie where it says that the system is never wrong. That you can be, before you commit a crime, before you can prove back to school, before you can prove that, quote, you, quote, are at risk for not being able to read well, not being able to do math well, not being able to write and a good sentence, grammar, and all this stuff. Long before you get to that point, if you're identified for whatever spurious reason and you are placed in that category, this is a perfect example of the future can be seen, the guilty will be punished before he or she commits anything that says that I'm at risk for whatever. The system is perfect. It's never wrong until it comes after you. And here is the bottom line, folks. Teachers, the system is coming after you. It has been coming after you since 2002 when Bush signed No Child Left Behind and laid out the steps, the path to school takeover, turnaround, management companies, and the charter schools, the privatization movement. And when they laid out all is decided and determined by standardized testing and then the common core. That was the system that could never be wrong. That was the system that saw your future. That was the system that you were guilty before you committed a crime and you are punished before you commit the crime. Your punishment is you're a bad teacher. We're going to either get rid of you now or we're going to put you on probation and then get rid of you. That's the punishment in of itself. And yes, all of this is perfect. The Common Core is perfect. Standardized testing is perfect. Value-added measures, VAM, perfect. It predict. It looked at all this, quote, data and said, this teacher is garbage based upon the students' test scores. And a group of students' test scores, even ones that you never taught, because the system is perfect and it's never wrong. Until you go to court and prove that the system is crap and it's always wrong, but that's a different show. And that teachers and admins, that double-edged sword, you're on the other side of the blade now when it's coming after you. You're on that negative side. Precog is coming after you. In some cases, it's already gotten you. In many cases, tens of thousands of teachers have left the field, been pushed out of the field. So we have a national shortage now of teachers. And people want to know, well, why we have shortage? Hell, who wants to come into a system where you have precog that sees the future, finds you guilty, and punish you? Because it never makes a mistake. It's perfect. It's never wrong. That was a real point that I want to get to people. I want to say that the people who run the system, the teachers and the admin, they are at risk, just like the students. And now they are finding out exactly what they're at risk for and why. That's it. Time is up. Thank you. We had a caller. We had a caller. I don't know when. I thank the caller, and I'll have a good rest of the Sunday. Take care, folks.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.